Welcome to the first ever Sharing is Caring podcast. I'm super excited to introduce this brand new project to my awesome network. Every week, I'll bring you an entertaining audio experience to inspire and motivate you to live your best life. I'll be joined by a list of amazing guests to share our knowledge and experience on a whole range of topics. Some areas we will cover are living a healthy lifestyle, achieving success, education, design and fashion, business and entrepreneurship, mental health, and lots more. The podcast will have a unique topic each week for listeners to learn something new and grow personally. It is my aim to share phenomenal content that will help you live your best life, doing the things you love. I welcome your feedback and I would greatly appreciate any responses. You can find my details in my profile or at the link below. Before you listen to today's episode, I would like to just say that there may be a few topics that bring up some concerning things to do with mental health and mental illness. If you're feeling like you need support, please call Lifeline on 131114. By now, you should be wondering what makes this podcast different and why are you going to tune in weekly? I could be another self-proclaimed expert talking about the health benefits of rhinoceros shit, cryptocurrency, how to make $1 billion selling health capsules from the boot of my car, or why so many of my Tinder dates were a disaster. But I'm not. Instead, I'm going to lay it all on the line and tell you why I've created this podcast. I'm Sean, and I'm a young man who has a story, a strong passion for education and developing good people. If you take the time to listen for approximately the next 5 to 10 minutes, you can sit back and finish your coffee on the way to work, or even better, start pouring a glass of wine. Knock the top off your favourite beer. But I'm hoping it's not 7 a.m. in the morning like the time I'm recording this podcast, because that's a little too early to be hitting the bottle. I will encourage you to tune in weekly to the Sharing is Caring podcast. If it's not your most satisfying audio experience, then I'll hold no grudge if you click back to your old school hip hop playlist and start singing along to Beyonce again. Speaking of hip hop, I thought I could start with a rap to really get you vibing. Oh wait, no way, you're kidding. He didn't say what I think he did he? But that's not really my style, so I'll just keep explaining. Instead of trying to be the real Slim Shady, I'll stand up and be the real Sean. About a year ago, I'd just settled back in after an amazing 12 months of traveling the world, teaching, learning about new cultures, meeting amazing people, and truly learning so much about myself. As cliche as it sounds, travel really does change you. I didn't think life could be any better. I was young, had a great job, relationship, and network. When whack, out of nowhere, I was hit like a freight train. It rattled me to my core and left me in a very fragile place. I was facing the biggest challenge of my life so far. I wasn't hit by a bus, nobody attacked me, I didn't have an accident, I was crawled up in a ball on my parents' floor crying, and I didn't want to move anytime soon. I was scared, I was confused, and I was upset. There are many other places I would have preferred to be than struggling from a mental illness. Let me give you some background first. Let me give you a little snippet for a minute through the life of Sean. I grew up in a small country town with a loving family, beautiful lifestyle, and awesome education that I am truly grateful for. Although times were never easy, my parents always gave me and my sister the best we could ever imagine, and their love was unconditional. Growing up was fun, or so I thought. Aside from a few bike stacks, car crashes, broken bones, run-ins with the law, crazy ex-girlfriends, expensive overseas holidays, and never-ending IOUs to the parents, I was pretty normal from my point of view. Mum and Dad may disagree. I had a great bunch of friends, loved my sport, and for as long as I know, I was addicted to exercise and health. I studied human movement, completed a master's degree, and then I fell into teaching, which I've always loved. Sharing my knowledge and experience is what I truly enjoy and feel a strong connection to this. How ironic as I sit here teaching you about me. But thank you so much for listening so far. Halfway through that beer, you better get another one ready. During my 20s, I was fairly reckless. Most young guys are, right? If there was anybody that was going to do something dumb, it was me. The cream of the crop was probably the one time I decided to sit on the bumper of my best mate's car, barely clothed, while we sped down his driveway, only to fly off as he hit the brakes. There I was in all my glory, flying through the air like Captain Underpants. I felt like a hero for about 700 milliseconds. But I wasn't wearing a cape. Before I knew it, my bare body was tearing along the gravel road. It wasn't my greatest moment. I did eventually start to grow out of that phase, much to my parents' enjoyment. Learning how to be a man took time, and the importance of this period of a male's life should not be underestimated. For those of you listening who are male or who have a male in their life, care for them, nurture them, and be patient with them. My parents did a superb job, and I couldn't have been any more lucky. I'm no longer one who likes to dwell on the past, but I feel it's important to acknowledge a few things here. I was doing all this harmful shit, making poor life choices, and it was all me trying to make myself feel good. I didn't know any better. It was like putting a band-aid on a broken bone. The quick fix just wasn't going to work. As I look back now and reflect, I was doing some serious damage to my own self-esteem and relationships. But nobody knew why, including me. From the outside looking in, I was happy, I was healthy, everything was going well, but for as long as I can remember, I felt like I had to be something that I wasn't. I was never good enough. I couldn't do anything, be anything, act any certain way that I needed to look like or be like somebody else. I was just a lost young soul that had some challenges I wish I had have understood. I often felt insecure, I felt sad, and I felt alone. And worst of all, I didn't tell anybody about it. Combine all of that with a busy work schedule where other people's demands and requests felt like they took precedence over my own health and well-being, created an overall feeling of never being good enough and having a totally messed up misinterpretation of what was important to me. I spent so much time trying to please everybody else. I'd forgotten to look after the most important person. I made it to 27, surprisingly. Yes, I had life pretty good, but there I was, Mr. Invincible, ignorant, obnoxious, stubborn, and closed-minded. I have always had the biggest of hearts, but that was no match for what was going on in my head. I was in what I thought was a positive relationship, going really well, I was in good shape, looking after my body and health, but I gradually started to let that restlessness, overthinking, insecurity, fear of failure, jealousy, not being good enough, creeping back in, and without realizing, I was becoming my own worst enemy. I literally self-destructed and pushed those closest to me away. Coming home to my bags packed, all my things thrown on the front doorstep with no clear explanation and nobody home was unimaginable. I later received a small text to say we needed to have a break indefinitely and that I had to get my stuff and leave. I did as I was told, and then for 30 minutes, I drove around aimlessly until my fuel light came on. As I pulled into the service station, I broke down. I didn't know what to do. I felt helpless. I was like a little lost boy with nowhere to go. I was not in a good way. And the one thing I had learned through training and development was that in times like this, you needed to focus on getting the best support. I attended an appointment with psychologist Jose. She is incredible. And spent half the session struggling to breathe as I was crying uncontrollably while she tried to get me to calm down and focus. I actually held on to a big rock she placed in my hand, and somehow that made me feel a little calmer. Rock on, I say. After my session, I agreed. I couldn't go to work. I wasn't in the right space. I phoned my boss and told him hesitantly that I needed the rest of the week off for my mental health. He respected that, and he let me know that I was supported if I needed anything, which I am grateful for. I was finally owning that I couldn't just ignore it this time. Admitting I wasn't okay was the first step. I then drove back to my small country town where my parents still live, and I'll never forget the look of confusion on my father's face when at midday on a Monday, I'll never forget the look on my father's face when at midday on a Monday, he sees my car pulling into his work shed. As I got out of the car, I burst into tears and for the first time in a while, just let him hug me while I tried to explain what was going on. I told him I wasn't okay and I needed his support. So for the next few days, I turned off my phone, gave it to my mum and said, "You need to keep that while I get better. It was time to focus and put myself first." Day one, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. The only thing that made me feel good was sitting down on the shower floor or crawling under my blankets and laying with them over my head. My psychologist later told me that it's because of that feeling of comfort, like a mother stroking a baby, but I felt so vulnerable at that point and I felt so weak. She insisted I needed to give myself time to let myself heal. I vividly remember being at training that night and we were asked to do a set of 20 push-ups. Normally this would be a breeze, but after one, I physically could not do another push-up. I'd gotten to that point where I was so, so weak and exhausted. Day two, I needed to boost my serotonin levels. I didn't really have any serotonin. And if you didn't know, this is the chemical in your bloodstream that makes you feel good. I was in a big rut and it was going to be hard to crawl out of it. I needed time and I needed to be patient. It's something that we can all struggle with from time to time. If you aren't producing enough of it, you're going to feel like shit. If you're not managing your health and well-being, you're going to feel even worse. Exercise and medication. Tick, tick. Add meditation and yoga. Tick, 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 tick. I vividly remember being at football training. Day three, I went back to Jose and did my next session. We started to break down why I was feeling the way I was, and I started to learn about me internally and how all those years beforehand, there were little warning signs that I had ignored. Not feeling good about myself, wanting to be liked, feeling alone and left out. If I was more willing to address it then, it may have been managed sooner. Like those warning lights coming on in the car. You can only drive it for so long until you end up on the side of the road. That's where I was. The next day I spent with my uncles, one of which had been diagnosed with terminal cancer and was counting down his last days. He'd been told by the doctors that there was nothing more they could do for him. That day was the start of something for me. Hearing him clearly explain what is important and what isn't in life gave me inspiration and motivation to fight back and become a better version of myself. I wasn't prepared to admit defeat. I started to realize how lucky I was and how I had so much to look forward to. His outlook on life was amazing. The way he put it into perspective is something I'll cherish forever. Such a strong man, brought to this point by a crippling disease, with two young children still waiting for their father to be around for many more years to come. He still appreciated every day and had an everlasting optimism that I will always cherish. I had so much to be grateful for and was determined to start living my best life. I made a commitment to myself the next day that I was going to start working on me and who I was, that every day I would better myself and be patient while recovering. I went for a long bushwalk, meditated on the top of a hill overlooking the farms my family had worked on for generations. And as I took it all in, I realized, you don't just get given the life that I have. I was young, healthy, free from disease, in an amazing country, had a great education, a loving family, and the world at my feet. I was going through a tough time, but I acknowledged I deserved so much better. I owed it to myself to start appreciating and using my talents to create a better world. I spent time with Jose again, and she immediately commented that I was understanding what I was experiencing and that I could rise above it. I started to educate myself more on mental health. I got right into yoga and meditation. I was training in the gym again, reading every day, journal writing. I avoided alcohol and coffee because this was contributing to the anxiety, and I was surrounding myself with good people. The best thing I learned to do was talk about it. Tell people how I was feeling and what was going through me. I'm hoping by sharing that I can still encourage other people to take this approach. There is nothing weak about speaking up and talking about it. It really took me a couple of weeks to start to see some progress where I was more positive, motivated, enthusiastic. I started to appreciate who I was becoming in the process. I was truly beginning to focus on my strengths rather than my weaknesses. I truly believe I had to go through that terrible time to learn these lessons. It should never have got to breaking point for me to understand who I was as a person. And that is why I've decided to share my journey with the world in the form of the Sharing is Caring podcast. I've also kept a journal for the last 5 years that I would one day like to turn into a book that provides a deeper understanding about what I think a lot of young people, especially in Western society, go through silently like I did. Feelings of never being good enough, insecurity, low self-esteem, body image, loneliness, being unhappy and lost. I still cop negative criticism all the time, but I've learnt to deal with it and just take it. I turn it into motivation. I turn it into inspiration. I used to get bullied at school. Usually, it was always the bald jokes. I've been bald for about the last 5 years. I was going bald for the other 25. But now I've learnt to embrace it, and that makes me who I am. There is always going to be naysayers and critics. I welcome the negative feedback. To anybody listening or watching, remember, you are always enough. You have the power to do wonderful things. All you have to do is believe in yourself. And if that's a little hard at times, look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself that you matter. Tell yourself that you have a strong body, you have a powerful mind, and the sky is the limit. My 27th year really was the most transformational year of my life. And it makes me wonder if all those sad losses at age 27, like Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, Amy Winehouse, etc., had the right knowledge and support to help them, would we still have such amazing talents here on earth? I have made some significant changes to my life that make it what it is. I love it, and I live every day with vitality, enthusiasm, and direction. I am clear on what I value, the expectations I have for myself and for others, appreciating each day and always caring for my body and cultivating my mind. I act with confidence. I openly accept who I am. With my bald head and my minor imperfections, I acknowledge that I may be faced at times with challenges and adversity, but now I believe in the process and I understand that everything happens for a reason. I've created a lifestyle brand that symbolizes health and happiness. I've started a clothing label which is focused on helping people feel good about themselves by wearing something that they love. The label is just one part of the brand to help raise awareness and encourage you to live your best life. Ultimately, I have one goal in life, and that is to see every living creature healthy and happy. I'm taking steps every day on a daily basis to be better, a weekly basis to move forward, a monthly basis to achieve goals. I hope that you can join me on a weekly basis to hear the thoughts of leading people from a wide range of areas on how their journey has shaped their life and what they do to keep themselves grounded and living their best life. Before I wrap up episode one, don't worry, there will be no dropping the mic today, but there is a brief little thing that I like to call my big list of happiness. If you love somebody, tell them all the fucking time. Talk about your feelings and share your experiences. It's the best way to learn and grow. Just be yourself. People are always going to have an opinion, but the only one that matters is yours. Spend more time by yourself and less time trying to get people to like you. Show appreciation and be grateful for what you do have, not what you don't have. Hard work really does pay off. Nobody gets anywhere without it. Practice random acts of kindness. When's the last time you opened the door for somebody, stood up for somebody on public transport, helped somebody put something into their car, or just simply said hello, good morning to a passing person? Look after your body. It is the only one that you get. It is your vessel to carry you through life. Yoga and meditation is the best fucking medicine, period. And so is breakfast. Always start the day with a nutritional breakfast. If you don't want people to be spending time with you, stop asking them. If they don't want to spend time with you, don't keep asking them to hang out. Confidence is the sexiest outfit. Every day is an incredible gift. Use it wisely. You are not guaranteed one tomorrow. Your network is your net worth. Sharing contacts, making new friends is essential to success. People are willing to help you. You just have to be prepared to ask them. Buying expensive shit to make yourself feel good does not work. Okay? It's short term. Spending time with family and friends, now that's long term, and that should be the top of your priority list. People make excuses. The only reason people are not happy with what they have or don't have is because of them. Nobody else, just them. It's up to you. Don't make excuses. You always have a choice in any situation. How you respond is up to you. It's okay to be selfish sometimes. If you don't take care of yourself, nobody else will. People are always going to try and shoot you down. I just think, haters gonna hate in my head. Haters gone. Life is beautiful. It doesn't last forever. Make everything you do count and leave a legacy. It is my ultimate goal that every week we can sit down with somebody who has a powerful story or experience that will bring positivity and motivation into your life. The Sharing is Caring podcast will be a platform for sharing knowledge, encouragement, and spreading the love. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been my pleasure, and I look forward to checking in again next week. Stay awesome.